I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up?
And we're not alone. We have a very special guest, Mr. Darren Kirsch from Level 33.1. What's up, Darren?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Really glad to be here and ready to talk some Smallville.
That's right. Season 6, man. So where do you rank Season 6 in the rankings of Smallville?
Season 6. Well, for me, it's conflicting because there's things I really like and there's some things that I don't really like at all. So I would probably rate it more towards, I would say, middle of the pack, maybe like 4 or 5.
Okay.
Number 4 or 5 on my list.
Very good. Very good. It's a tale of two seasons, right? We're in the good half right now. So I look forward to where this discussion goes. It's the Green Arrow show. So
that's right. Always Arrow, hold on to Arrow.
In Arrow fashion. Right, we have some flashbacks about Oliver Queen's past. Transitions could use some work, though. We'll talk about that.
Yep.
But before we get into it, Darren, you've been on 33.1, but this is your first time on the podcast proper, as we call it. Kind of go into how you found Smallville and became a fan, and any of your Superman fandom as well, to kind of tell people where you're coming from with your fandom.
Oh boy! So this all started long ago, not so far away. Back when I came out of Smallville just after the series actually had ended. I didn't even really know that it really existed. I'd maybe like heard of it once or twice in passing, but I don't think we had that network, or I'm not sure what the deal was. But yeah, I came to it right after it ended. It was right after I graduated high school. And I was like, wow, this is actually really good. And then I think I first saw like a scene on like YouTube maybe or something. And then I started watching like the clips on like TV that were like the episodes that were, I don't know, like three in the morning or 5 in the morning when they would air. It was like season 3 and season 8. And those were like two totally different seasons.
Is this the same show?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Two of the same characters.
So I'm like, what's all, like, there has to be this, like, what happened to get to there, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
So I became a pretty big fan that way. And Tom Welling is my favorite actor of all time. I just, that character that he portrays just really resonates with me. That's kind of who I aspired to be. So I ended up actually buying like the whole 10 season series set. And that has like the cool newspaper article.
Superman Saves the Day.
Yep. And all the extras and behind the scenes. And so that's kind of how I got into Smallville. When I grew up, I was also like a fan of like the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, Superman the Animated Series. I know everyone talks about Batman the Animated Series, but Superman the Animated Series is underrated.
I agree.
Like, I was a big fan of that show.
It is underrated because, like, it's, and I love Superman, right? It's my favorite superhero. But, like, the DCAU is just, it's Batman, right? I mean, like, Batman started it. Batman, I love Batman Beyond. Justice League is great because, you know, Batman's in it. Superman's always getting punked in Justice League. Superman's out of it, right?
First half of it, he was, for
Justice
sure.
Justice League Unlimited.
But in Unlimited, they let him cut loose a little bit more, and I really appreciate that.
But you just kind of take for granted that Superman, that was good, right? Because it's like 4 stars, and everything else is 5 stars. To me, that's why it might get lost in the conversation. But, I mean, if you look at that, like, that's your template for a live-action Superman show. Right, you mix together some Smallville, some Lois and Clark, and some Superman the Animated Series, and everything is there. Everything you need. Right, we'll never see it, but that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
So, who's your favorite voice actor, Tim Daly or George Newbern?
Oh, Tim Daly, 100%.
Okay.
Anytime I hear Tim Daly, I instantly, like, that's Superman to me. Like the voice, anyway. Like, it's a little bit different when it comes to like the movie and incarnations. That I'm a little more torn. Like, obviously. As anyone who's probably listened to the Roundtable episodes probably knows, I am a fan of Zack Snyder's DC movies. Even Superman, I know you're not as keen on that, but it's resonated with me, and I'm a fan of that. So obviously looking forward to the Snyder Cut of Justice League. And
yeah,
so I'm a fan of most of the characters most of the actors who've portrayed Superman. I've been a fan of most of them. Mm-hmm. There's just a couple I haven't been a big fan of, but Tom Welling's definitely up there for sure.
Yeah, people are like, who's your first Superman? I'm like, Christopher Reeve. Like, what? Not Tom Welling? I'm like, come on, y'all. Like,
well, even Tom Welling would argue that he didn't portray Superman.
Yeah,
he portrayed Clark Kent.
As recently as this year's New York Comic Con, you know, at the Smallville panel, he was like, yeah, I got the part, and I told my mom, hey, I'm Clark Kent. She's like, oh, you're Superman? He's like, no, I'm Clark Kent. And he's like, and people still do that, and I guess it is what it is at this point. So,
yeah.
But that's part of his brand at this point. I've come to accept it, right? Yeah, I mean, you can't Christopher Reeve, right? He's the gold standard. And I don't not love the DCU Superman because he's not Christopher Reeve. Like, I know that's
I know.
You just have, you know, I don't say that to you. I say that to the listeners because people are like, right. You just need to take your Christopher Reeve blinders off, man. It's not 1978. If it was 1978, you could get a newspaper for a dime, to quote, turn into Lawrence Fishburne there. I didn't know where that was going. It was Perry White.
No, I know that, but like.
I don't know, 1930. Anyway, the point is, I look forward to seeing more Superman in the DCU in the future and seeing what they do with him. Because he's my least favorite thing. Well, I guess the Flash is my least favorite thing in the DCU.
The Ezra Miller Flash?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But hey, Flashpoint will give us all the Batmans. I know Lance is very excited to see.
I've made my feelings on that clear. I'm not going to get into that right now.
Yeah. That's right. We got to go down and watch Flashpoint with you.
Yeah, you do.
That's right. Yeah. If you want to see a 15-year friendship end in real time, everybody needs to come down to Houston, assuming theaters still exist, by the time Flashpoint comes out, and see me and Lance watch Flashpoint together and end our friendship. That will be our Flashpoint. So,
are you assuming that it's going to be amazing? And
I'm just assuming that I'm going to like it and you're not.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
That's fair.
So, hey, Superman.
So it'll be just kind of like Joker then, right?
That's exactly so. And I think that's what's cool about Smallville, right? Because you talk about all these Superman iterations that you enjoy. And Smallville is like this great melting pot of everything. And that's a strength of it, of the character. Because, and then also it ran so long, it kind of had to be. Because mm-hmm. I had to do so many things so many times. And, you know, in the episode we're talking about here, Reunion, right? We get some, you know, joke about off the top. We get some flashbacks, right? And that's something that Smallville is, they always do have that overexposed look to them. Like, they kind of picked that, mm-hmm. like, production technique. Like, especially in Suspect is the one I think of all the time. The one with Jonathan Kent, or like, who shot Lionel Luther, right? Yep. That's the whole, and all the flashbacks are all, like, kind of overexposed. I'm like, okay, I like they're repeating that visual language here. But the Smallville, you know, something that, you know, it's they never really, there's not, like, a pattern to it. I'd say, you know, once every, maybe every season, there's an episode with flashbacks in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, the amazing Oliver Queen flashback episode, which Arrow really puts to shame. Toxic is the name of it. It's the one with the flower.
Are you thinking about season 8, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like, I remember that. Yeah,
we finally get the origin of the Green Arrow. I'm like, well, I liked how they mixed in Tess, but man, that was...
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let Justin Hartley grow a beard. But anyway.
Yeah, that's totally not realistic at all, but...
Man. Yeah. So, but hey, right? We made up for it with 5 years of great flashbacks over on Arrow, didn't we, Lance?
2 years of great.
Five
flashbacks.
Years in hell.
2 years, yes. 2 years, yes.
Have they just spaced those 2 years?
I'm telling you, man.
Five seasons.
It's okay. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Over on Always. Hold on.
To Arrow.
So there you go. But hey, we're talking about Reunion. Let's get into it now. Reunion.
Lionel Luther sweeping in with the best doctors in the world. Save Duncan.
Lionel, I thought it was an act of kindness. Now that I'm older, I realize it was just an act. Lionel was trying to cover up what happened between Lex and Duncan.
Trying to cover up the stink off the Luther name.
How did he know about all this?
He got the whole story from Lex. Duncan was on scholarship. His parents couldn't afford a Band-Aid, let alone a team of neurosurgeons. So Lionel promised to take care of the whole thing.
As long as everyone kept quiet.
Not that it mattered. Duncan died 2 days later.
It was an accident. It just happened.
No.
No, I told myself that same lie for years. The truth is, all of us might as well have pushed him out in front of that car. Alden, Jeffrey, Lex, me. We all killed Duncan Ellenmeyer.
Reunion is the fifth episode of Smallville's sixth season. It aired on October 26, 2006. It was written by Stephen S. DeKnight and directed by Jeno Swark. Again, our friend Jeno Swark from Supergirl, the movie, Jaws 2, Somewhere in Time, Heavy Hitters, if you are a Christopher Reeve, a Superman, or a Jaws fan.
Yes.
And then if he, of course, directed many episodes of Smallville, many episodes of Heroes, always on the Heroes, am I right? Maybe, one day. I got to do it at this point. But,
2032.
Yeah, but hey, I think he does a great job on the television format as well. Some would argue he's better suited for the television format if you've seen Jaws 2. But I really do love Somewhere in Time, and we're going to cover it at some point on the podcast or the Patreon. I haven't decided where,
yes,
but we're going to talk about it. Because we have two Smallville guest stars are the main characters, Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour. So, but anyway, reunion, right? This episode starts out, Excelsior Academy. Mm-hmm. It's like right in your face.
Excelsior!
October 26, 1996. So it's exactly 10 years before the air date of this episode, you know? So that was...
good on them.
Good on them, right? And then we can extrapolate how old Lex is from this very episode. Let's do the math, y'all. Okay. If he's 18...
because he has to be.
It's his 10-year reunion from when they graduated in 2006. So he's 18...
or he could be 17.
Going 17 on 18.
Or, yeah.
To quote...
The Sound of Music?
There it is.
But it's 16 going on 17.
I am 17 going on 18. I'll take care of you.
So he is 17, let's say,
okay,
in 1996. 5 years later, he's 22.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like 22, 23, hanging out with a 15-year-old.
That's right.
So yep, take that as you will. But hey, I got to say, they did an excellent job casting a young Lex Luthor here. And in Smallville, The Official Companion, Season 6 by Craig Brennan, available wherever books are sold. Director Jeno Swark had this to say about the young Lex Luthor actor. Quote, "The most challenging thing about that episode was that you had a young Lex Luthor and the audience had to believe it. Lucas Grable had just arrived from London and he was very good. I had him watch some stuff that Lex had done in Smallville before and then explain to him that there was a chilliness and a dark side to Lex. And we had to pick the moments when you see it. He couldn't play it all the time because the character is genuine." And I agree, right? I mean, when they cast younger versions of established actors, like this isn't like a movie that's 2 hours and there's like a young version of the character.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy, this is an actor and a character been watching for 5+ years now. And you have to believe this guy is him just a few years before we first saw him. And I think he did a great job. What about you, Darren?
I agree. I know he was just coming off that High School Musical fame at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he did an excellent job. I really did. Especially, you know, considering I think he portrays that other character, which I will not spoil later on in the series, right?
Yeah, see, he does come back in season 10.
Yep. I thought he looked very familiar.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's great, too, because Smallville, every now and then they would do this. They'd be like, oh, well, you play the young version there. You can play the young version here, or that kind of, like, that's, I like that. That's good continuity, like, even inside its own show.
Yeah.
That's really cool how he left that impression here, and they bring him back years later to play that role. Because no spoilers on this show. I'm not going to tell you who he was. So. But I really like the dynamic here of him. And he has a friend, Duncan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, this kid is like, this is good casting because he's not like an over-the-top, like, just kind of a realistic dude, right? And he's talking to his friend about
normal
comics.
He's just a normal, quiet kid.
Yeah, just a normal guy. Like, he's not
one of us.
Yes.
Yeah, see, this is like, if I were in Smallville, I'd be this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's just talking to Lex about Warrior Angel.
This is what we did in high school.
Right, I mean,
literally,
we can relate to
legit.
This.
Yeah. Walking around talking about comic books.
And I love the Warrior Angel thing, too. Like, that's whenever Smallville has its own, like, unique to this version of Superman stuff, I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not the Kawachi capes, but everything else. Maybe not Veritas. Actually, there's a lot of stuff I don't like as unique to Smallville. But the point is, I really love the Warrior Angel. What is your take on the Warrior Angel stuff, Darren?
I'm with you. I really thought it worked for this episode, and I usually find it pretty cool. It's kind of a creative twist that kind of, usually I think it's done to kind of add, it's supposed to reflect what the episode's about and the characters, and especially when you have characters like, you know, Clark Kent, Superman, and Lex Luthor, and I thought it was pretty fascinating, and I thought it was a good touch.
Yeah, and you know they mentioned like it was Evil Dad or something. I'm like, oh, even more. We have to be so on the nose.
We do,
but that's again, that's the charm of the show. That's what we love and still love. And you know, they're just nerding out as they do, and then they get picked on by the jocks of the school. I assume the cool kids: Oliver Queen, Bruce Wayne, and who did we say the other guy was? Was it Ted Kord? No, Ted Kord's in season 10.
He is.
So I guess he'd be Ray Palmer.
Ray Palmer.
That's a joke. They're not really those characters. But one of the guys goes back to Gotham. Like, this is Batman. And then when he dies, I'm like, that's why there's no Batman. Because he got blown up. Now, as good as the Lex casting and the Duncan casting was as characters, I feel like a weak part of the episode is like the, like, as non-stereotypical as those guys were, who I was just giving credit for, that the other end of the spectrum is like Oliver Queen and his buddies. It's like Biff and his two lackeys from Back to the Future.
That's
right?
Exactly what it is.
McFly, you finished my homework, Luthor?
Yep.
Hello, anybody home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly as it was. And also, it's interesting, like, they were, like, towering over those other two dudes. Like, it's like Flashback Lex was so much shorter than Flashback Oliver. And it's just like, well, they kind of even out as they get older. But it's just kind of interesting, like, how they chose these actors and how they kind of let the height be a factor in this. Mm-hmm. And especially in the intimidation aspect of it.
Yeah. And it makes them more sympathetic.
Yeah.
You know? Because remember last time we saw, whenever we see Flashback Lex, he's like sympathetic, right? Like, oh, Lex, he's a victim of a circumstance, or people picked on him, or his dad hates him, or he had a, you know. But this, I give this episode a lot of credit. This kind of turns that. I'm like, no, maybe Lex wasn't always, you know, it's just this
he's
nice,
not innocent, so innocent. Yeah.
You know, nice, innocent kid as we were led to believe. Like Oliver tells him later, always blaming everybody for your own mistakes. Mm-hmm. So that cap that he wears is interesting too, because, you know, he's always felt like, you know, being bald, I mean, I'm sure his dad reinforces into him, like, it's like a sign of shame, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's always trying to cover it. Like, and he loses his hat when they're, like, Oliver Queen and all them are, like, kind of, they're scuffling over the comic book. He loses his hat. He quickly puts it back on, you know? Because he's like, oh, God, I've been exposed here. But we established what it was 10 years ago back then. You know what? Again, I'm always singing the praise of This Is Us.
Yes.
That is great young Oliver Queen casting.
Like, yeah, he looks good.
The guy who plays young Kevin Pearson, teenage Kevin Pearson, who is Justin Hartley's character, that guy looks, I mean, exactly like him. Like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, but hey, you know, that guy didn't exist in 2006. So,
yeah.
So he was like 5 years old.
Maybe.
In 2006. So, but then, you know, the skirmish ends and the nerds and the jocks go their different ways. And then we pan up to the statue on the top of their boarding school, Excelsior boarding school. And then we get a really cool transition into the modern day, which is like a cut to black. I don't know. Arrow is the master of present to past transitions.
Put some respect on Arrow's name.
This was just like...
I agree.
This was just you guys like cut out a frame of footage and added a sound effect. I don't know. I don't want to be too hard on it. I don't sound like I'm nitpicking it here, but what did you guys think of the way they transition back and forth?
It's not Arrow.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. It could have been better.
But then it's Lex in the modern day looking up at the same statue. That's our transition point. And he's gone to his 10-year reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he didn't go to his 5-year reunion. We'd have seen that in season one.
Yep.
He would have brought Victoria, to his 5-year. Maybe he did go. Maybe he did.
Maybe.
Because Smallville taught me that high schools have 5-year reunions, as we find out. Although he's at his reunion, no one ever says reunion. I was very disappointed, by the way.
Yeah.
There's not a sign that says reunion. Nobody says it. I was like, surely there's an episode title, an episode here. But there's not, alas. But Lex has brought Lana Lang, and they run into Lois Lane.
And she has a great quote. She's like, your billionaire drag you to this too? That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then Oliver, of course, shows up with the same guys.
Lackeys.
You know, it's the same guys from 10 years ago. And we get our... Lex, Lana, Oliver, Lois dynamic with these guys. What's your take on Oliver and Lois and their relationship, Darren?
I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously, everybody knows it's not going to last, but I think it's interesting considering how, you know, she was living at like the Kent farm and then now she gets her own place, but she still has that like kind of feel where they're just two opposites and sometimes like opposites attract, you know, that's the kind of vibe I get from that, but I think it works. I think their scenes are really interesting together. I think they have really good chemistry.
Yeah, I agree. And you say we know it's not going to last because obviously he's the Green Arrow. Mm-hmm. He's going to end up with the Black Canary. Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. So that's why we know
Lois. Not because of Lois and who she ends up with.
It's a little arrow joke there.
Yeah, sure. Is.
Oh, I Smallville joke too, I guess.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
you did.
I played myself.
You did.
So those other guys, you know, they're still the same dude bros they were in the past. You know,
which, yeah, it's interesting, especially based on what we know about this Oliver. Like, this Oliver probably wouldn't be friends with these dudes, like,
but he's not friends with them,
right? Yeah, but like, I know he's like kind of like, you know, playing it up, but it still seems like he would just be like, yeah, I'm done with you guys. But mm-hmm. I guess he's just kind of keeping up appearances.
But yeah, they're all around and like, hey, it's good to have the old gang here. And they're like, yeah, except Duncan. And
then everybody gets quiet.
And Lois is like, who's Duncan? They're like, never mind. And then Oliver, yeah, he takes one of his friends, the really
the Zac Efron looking dude.
Yeah. That's where you get High School Musical.
Yep,
yeah.
Strikes again.
But what's funny is he's like, I think you've had enough. Oliver takes the guy's drink away, and then he kind of walks off, kind of annoyed at Oliver doing that. And then he goes and picks up another drink mm-hmm. off another tray, right? And he's like, hey, he's talking to himself. He's like, hey, Duncan, buddy, if you were here, blah, you know, that statue that we saw comes into play.
Yeah.
Because one, the debris mm-hmm. falls off of it right next to him. It's a good bait. It's a good misdirect, right? Because you're like, oh, wow, he's going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
But then the sword comes off
yep.
and impales the dude. Blood goes everywhere. And there's a
splashes on Lex's face.
Shot of Lex, just blood spatter. I'm like, whoa, is Smallville, what time is Smallville come on? And what channel is this, right? Because Smallville has gotten more hardcore, I think. But this is a very shocking opening to the episode. And of course, that drives us into the opening credits.
Yeah.
So stupid. I'm sorry. It's just so ridiculous.
I agree with you, Darren. It's like, there are some good things in this episode. But, I mean, the premise is like, what? And the execution is like, what?
Yeah.
And this is the first sign of that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then we come back from the opening credits, and Lex is sitting in the Luther Library. He's been drinking, and lights are off, so he feels bad. Or he feels something. He doesn't... mm-hmm. And Lionel comes in to visit and wanted to check on him, right? And Lionel is like, how are you, son? He's like, oh, nothing a trip to the dry cleaner can't solve.
Yeah.
And Lionel has a great line here.
He's just like, that's distasteful, even for you.
That's distasteful. But yeah, I mean, this guy was a bully, and you know, I'm sure Lex Luthor would feel this way if like mm-hmm. some jerk guy that used to pick on him like got what was coming to him, you know. This is, so remember the time to up table this fast wording, this is 2 days. So mm-hmm. let's see if anything popped off to us as being longer than 2 days. Remember, because Duncan okay. got his treatment 2 days ago.
Got it.
So I just want to keep that in the back of my mind when we play what day is it? What time is it? What is going on? But Lex also has in this conversation with Lionel, like they have a whole talk about like you need to bury those memories where they belong in the past. So it's like this very unhealthy way of looking at trauma and everything like that.
Yeah.
And you know, we're delving more into Lex's past here. We are in season six, and it's tricky to do this kind of stuff when you know a character for so long, and you're like, oh, you're telling me this happened too, mm-hmm. Because there's so much with Julian and Lionel already, and Lillian. You're like, how much more is there from his past? But I think all this really checks out because they had established Excelsior Academy. They established he was picked on. So this is really kind of filling in some gaps and not contradicting anything really either. And also, I think it was really smart to kind of tie in Oliver Queen to his past. And I mean, in the comics, Lance, has Lex gone to school with like Bruce Wayne or Oliver Queen or anybody?
No. Mm-mm. No. Well, I mean, it would make sense for some of these people to, like, you know, have like gone to a boarding school, right, and maybe cross paths at that point, but it's not really something that's been explored until I saw it, like, here.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting dynamic considering, like, the two billionaires and how they're similar yet completely different in a way, and they go about it in a different way. Mm-hmm. It actually reminded me of the Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne relationship in BVS, how those two eccentric billionaires that know what they want and they go about it in similar yet completely different ways.
And that is something I've always really enjoyed when Bruce Wayne and Batman or Lex Luthor interact, like when they come to blows with each other, either in or out of costume, because they are so similar but different mm-hmm. at the same time. Because those are my three favorite comic characters, right? Mm-hmm. It's Superman, Clark Kent, Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Lex Luthor, right? And BVS is the only place I can see them in live action all together. So
there you go.
So
hey, man, you have world's finest.
Animation is also good. I hate animation,
It's a great episode, and it does that better.
That's now I agree with that. But Clancy Brown, better than Jesse Eisenberg. But that's a discussion for another time. So, yeah, and, you know, he is the Batman here, right? I mean, that's why they brought in Oliver Queen. He is filling that Bruce Wayne role. Like, if they had given Smallville access to use Bruce Wayne and Batman, he would be doing all these same things.
Oh, yeah.
But it would still track. I'm like, yeah, Bruce Wayne went to boarding school with, you know, he went to boarding school for a couple years before he ran off to go study martial arts somewhere, right? I mean, you could fill in all that stuff, right? I guess in the Nolanverse, he went to Princeton or...
He did go to Princeton.
That's right, it was. Back from Princeton, sir. I don't know what he says. Never. But anyway, Lionel leaves and Lex pulls out this bloody patch from Excelsior boarding school. And you're like, is this his uniform? Or maybe is it someone else's? Mm. We don't know. But it triggers a flashback, which again, could have been way cooler, but they just cut the black. And we get more of Lex and Duncan. And by the way, this is a very famous staircase from Smallville.
Yep.
It's kind of like the overpass. You see the staircase all the time. They're always redressing it. The place that most people will recognize it most from is in Odyssey when Oliver shoots Clark with an arrow.
Yep.
That's the same spot, and we see this staircase all the time. So it must be one of these regular places all the shows in Canada film in, because I see it in other shows as well, like The X-Files or Fringe or whatnot. And Duncan and Lex are talking, and they're talking like, hey, what they're going to do when they're done with school, because, you know, they're going to this is their year they're going to graduate, right? Lex is like, my dad wants me to run his company, but screw that. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. The guy's a bastard, right? I mean, it tracks. He hates his dad, right? And Duncan, he's the more, you know, what would you say? Idealistic. Of the
yeah,
team,
idealistic.
Right? Yeah.
Hopeful.
Because he wants kinda to
like
help.
Clark Kent. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah,
like warrior.
Yeah.
And he wants to be like, you know, a public servant. He thought about being like, you know, a doctor or a lawyer and doing like pro bono cases for the poor. Mm-hmm. Because like part of his story is like he's there on scholarship. His family's poor.
And they drop that in like subtly, too. I mean, they get there quickly. But Lex's like, oh, did you get the latest issue? He's like, no, I couldn't afford it. Right.
Yeah.
And part of the reason he gets picked on, he's an outcast like Lex, because Lex, you know, for the way he looks, because, you know, kids are the worst.
Yes.
And of course, they're going to make fun of somebody who looks different than them. And then class-wise, like at a private school, I didn't go to a private school, into a public school, but I can only assume, right, there are these hierarchies at a private school just like a public school. And mm-hmm. So they're going to like, oh, that's the kid on scholarship, right? Oh, your parents couldn't even afford it, right? So that's the dynamic going on with there. But you can see how in this conversation, you can kind of see how they're different, but also the same. And, you know, Lex wants to rebel against his family, but at the same time, he wants this acceptance of, like, society. And that is really what kind of how their story ends up paying off at the end.
Yeah.
But... You know, he's like, yeah, let's start a law firm.
Yeah.
What's the guy's last name? I don't know. But it's like Duncan and Luther. He's like, Luther and Duncan? Sold.
Yeah.
So it's just wants to get his name first, but that's cool.
Reminded me of that scene in Daredevil with Foggy and Matt when they're trying to pick their name.
Yeah. But why
Murdoch
they're...
Nelson and Murdoch. Alan Meyer is his name. Last name.
Alan Meyer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Duncan Alan Meyer.
That's right, because I kept thinking that Alan Meyer, an Alan Meyer flask, you know? I was like, what's this guy, like, laboratories? His dad invent the the Alan Meyer flask or something? But Alan Meyer and Luther? Luther and Alan Meyer.
Yep.
Sold. But while they're in the hallway here, Oliver Queen and his lackeys are stealing some midterm questions, right? And they're like, oh, man, the midterms, bro, yeah, you know? And they sneak off, and Lex and Duncan see them.
Yeah.
And, oh, where's this going to lead? We'll find out. Stay tuned, because we cut back to the modern day. You know, that's something that Arrow had so many flashbacks in the show Arrow. I'd been interested to see Oliver when he was younger too.
Same.
You know what I mean? Because this is we never see Oliver Queen on Arrow in the Arrowverse this age doing stuff. No. I would be curious to see it.
The earliest and the youngest we get to see him is like Abercrombie Oliver, like before getting on the Gambit.
Yeah.
Like just a couple of those.
Yeah. Hanging out with Laurel, not having change with the pizza guy.
Yeah, and then...
sneaking Sarah on the boat.
And then when he tells Moira that he got Sarah pregnant.
It was
not Sarah,
Connor Hawk. Yes.
Yeah, got her, he got her pregnant.
But anyway, we cut back to the modern day, and Lex is just pondering his bloody patch there. And then we cut to the Kent farm, and it's kind of a cute scene. It's Martha cooking, and Chloe's there, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow, what a nice environment this is, and... Clark is there, and they're all having dinner together. I'm like, is this, they do this a lot? Like,
apparently.
I don't know. It's just a nice Kent family thing, because Chloe's in on the secret, you know? So she's going to go have dinner with them.
She's,
you know? And
she's in the inner circle.
That's right. Inner circle. And they start talking about something that they should have talked about in Wither, but it was in the deleted scenes, and we complained about it mm-hmm. on the podcast. And they're talking about, it's like the wall of Weirwind Global, right? And it's because all these Phantom Zoners that escaped. And this is... I guess they had realized that they cut all that essential conversation between you know, Lex and Lex. It's a Lex episode, guys. Excuse me. Clark and Chloe back in that episode. So here they have like Martha and Clark and Chloe talk about it.
Yeah.
And Chloe dubs them zoners. And I kind of like that name. What do you think though? What do you think of that name and the whole plot of the Phantom Zoners escaping around the world, Darren?
Just this episode or the season so far in general?
You know, we can spoil it. So go ahead. What do you think in general of how they set it up and where it goes? Because it's a slow burn. Because we are 5 episodes in and we have nothing. That one tag scene.
Yeah.
Of like the guy flying at the camera at the season premiere. And that's it.
I think it's interesting, but like you said, it's slow burn, and it really, really, really does not work in this episode at all. It's just literally thrown in, and it's not even touched on until the post credit scene version of scene of, oh wait, you know, it's her, you know,
it's like they know that, like, crap, we were supposed to do this a couple episodes ago. Yep. We cut it out. We got to bring this up, or we're gonna be at the middle of the season and not have addressed this at all. And you're right. I don't think it fits. Like, I don't know what they could have put this, maybe put this in Arrow and left that the episode Arrow, the previous one, and left that weird Lana Lex Lionel plot out and put that in this one. Yeah. I guess you couldn't because Lex is busy. So
it's true.
I have a question for you, Zach.
Yeah.
I didn't see any deleted scenes on the DVD that I have for it. Are there any actually deleted scenes from this episode?
For this episode, no. But you know what, Darren, thanks for bringing that up, because because we have had notorious problems with watching season 6 on the DVDs. Mm-hmm. And you have the complete series on DVD. Yes. You don't have these issues, right? You have no issues with season 6 DVDs. Am I correct?
So far.
Okay. So I've had both the first and second discs. I have had issues trying to watch them. So we have now, Lance brings over his complete series set.
Yep.
And they're fine in those. So with Arrow, for example, there is a deleted scene for Arrow, mm-hmm. right?
The episode Arrow, right?
Yes, correct. The episode Arrow.
Yeah, okay,
it's so
okay.
confusing to talk about.
Yeah.
try to search stuff for Smallville Arrow, the episode.
Which was a great episode, by the way.
So we kind of joked on there that we tried to watch the deleted scene. We couldn't because the disc wouldn't let us. But now we've transferred over to Lance's DVDs. We're able to watch it.
Yeah.
It's just the deleted scene we mentioned last time. It's just a short scene between Clark and Chloe. Chloe gives him a hard time about, checking on Lois, huh?
Yeah. Because
Clark's like, I would never date Lois. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. And I'm of course. Another one of these scenes.
Yep. It's Zach's favorite.
Yeah.
She also gives him some exposition that she should have given him instead of Lionel.
Yeah.
So that actually would have worked better. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there are no deleted scenes in this episode, Darren. The deleted scenes in Wither, though, at the end in the hospital with... Clark, you can find this all on our social media now because I posted it after we posted the episode of Wither. Is mm-hmm. There's a scene where Clark kind of tells Chloe, like, oh, yeah, well, she's from the Phantom Zone. I must have let all these criminals out, right? And it kind of explains what's going on because she's Gloria in that episode, the park ranger, is the first episode where there is a zoner, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, yes.
Yep.
And so they established zoner. It then. But it was we had to see Lex and Lana have sex at the end of that episode.
Sure did.
So we didn't have time to establish the overarching plot of the season.
Hey man, it still is the CW. They gotta get that in there.
Literally. And that scene.
You know what else that tells me though? It tells me that like this episode they're probably like, gosh, we need like 5 more minutes of footage. What do we do? Oh, that's you know, let's just talk quick touch on that. Like, you know, that's what it reeks of to me. Maybe that's a bad way of describing it.
No, absolutely. And I know they wanted to pace it out a certain way, like, oh, they wanted to reveal Duncan at a certain time. But
yeah.
I would have appreciated it more if it had, this is like a less successful version of Memoria, right? Mm-hmm. With the flashbacks of Lex. Like, let's focus in on Lex and have flashbacks throughout and kind of pace it out differently. And then you don't need all this stuff on the side, you know, because Chloe, after this scene, right, she's like, oh, I'm going to go look into it and all. Well, I need Queen Industries satellites. And so Clark mentions it to Oliver when he sees him. And that's just a subplot. And then, as you said, the post credit scene, if you will, right, mm-hmm. is when it's addressed. Like, oh, my God, it's Raya. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, season 6 really is a season of two halves, because this is the Green Arrow show here. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when he leaves, they're like, oh, we got more phantoms to deal with, and then we have a fake baby and wedding and all that stuff. So,
bunch of nonsense. Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say like that, but
I agree. No, man, I'm right there with you. But Clark feels responsible here. This is his concern here, right? Because he feels responsible for like these there's a village you got destroyed, right? Because of the zoner, you know. So, you know, this Superman cares about property damage, Darren. Hey-o! All right, there we go. We'll move on.
Okay.
So, but this is what this Clark does, right? He's like, he feels responsible for this, even though it technically wasn't his fault. I blame Jor-El for this because that's a poor design. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna help you escape the Phantom Zone, but if there's anyone around you, like a 50-foot radius, they're all coming to Earth with you. Like, that's a poor design, Jor-El, when he designed that exit from the Phantom Zone. But Queen Industries has the only satellite available, so Clark's going to go ask Oliver Queen for his satellite images that day, so Chloe can get to the bottom of what's going on.
And it's interesting because, like, before, like, when he realizes that, Clark's just like, Oliver Queen still owes me one. It's just like, for what? From what exactly, Clark? Is like, for the last episode when you saved him from having his secret exposed by Lois, but it, like, Chloe doesn't know. Like it's weird. Like, that's an odd thing for him to say.
That is sloppy writing, because they're like, well, Chloe knows all Clark's secrets, right? So he can say this. But no, they specifically, at the end of Arrow, there's the honor among superheroes.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell her that Oliver's the Green Arrow. And he's like, Oliver Queen still owes me one. If I were Chloe, I'd be like, well, for what?
For what?
Like, so
they're even, yeah.
But see, that's what you're pointing out, Darren. That is them trying to force this plot line in here. And they're like not thinking about the big picture. But back to our A plot. We get Bruce Wayne at the hospital with Oliver and Lois. No, they're out there. The guy who got impaled by the sword died.
Yeah.
So that's a hospital visit plus one because they're leaving the hospital. So clearly they took him to the hospital and didn't survive. But they're walking away and the other guy is like, he's like, well, I got to get back to Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And whoa, but as I recall, this is the first mention of Gotham on Smallville.
It might be.
I don't think
they've mentioned it since then. I guess Chris Nolan was like, all right, you can use it once. That's it.
As a throwaway.
Yeah. We can't see it.
Yeah.
You probably can't mention Batman.
You probably told him Gotham is my city.
Yeah. The city is yours. Do as you please. And then Lois again, like, they're talking outside the hospital and Oliver's like, man, the third guy whose name I don't really care to even remember. The third guy, he called me, wanted to have a drink, but I told him I was busy, and they're like, oh man, times like this, you know, make you appreciate the people in your life. And Lois is like, hey, let's call Duncan. Is he living here? And they're like, no, he doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah.
So they're still kind of keeping that a secret. But then Bruce Wayne here goes back to his car, and we see Alfred lets him in. You know, Alfred's smoking, which is a nasty habit.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws a cigarette down, and there's like a trail of gasoline. Gasoline?
Yep.
It's supposed to be a Joker impression from Dark Knight. I totally botched it, but you know what? Gunpowder is cheap. And we see, like, the cigarette hits the trail of gasoline and the car blows up.
Yeah.
Killing Alfred and Bruce Wayne. And that's why there's no Batman in this universe. So that was my headcanon. What do you guys think?
Until season 11.
Yeah.
Season 11. Yes, that's right. It's canon, according to the people who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, their names are not Bruce Wayne.
I was going to say, I actually looked that up too. And I was like, Jeffrey? Is that right?
Jeffrey with a G.
Of course.
And Alden. There you go. Not Ray Palmer, Ted Kord, or Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So take your pick.
Or Jeffrey Johns.
Maybe. So yeah, they blow up Jeff Johns real good. Then it's a pretty intense stunt, but Oliver and Lois get blown forward.
They do.
And look back, and it's a really good car explosion. They really blew up that car. So good on them.
You feel it, yeah.
So that's day one. So let's keep that in mind.
All right.
The show might be correct. I'm just trying to keep track here because they make a point that this episode happened over 2 days. So I always love to keep my eye out for these on Smallville. So then we cut to commercial. We come back. And Clark has gone to visit Oliver Queen.
Yep.
And he is testing out some new arrows, which is always fun to see, right? That's the gimmick of Green Arrow. I mean, he mentions the boxing glove arrow and how that'd be dumb. So now he has an EMP arrow, which is a pretty effective tool, all right?
I like that, yeah.
And he's also, like, you know, drawing back that bow very slowly still.
That is, yes. As we talked about on the Arrow podcast with Lance and Kev, this Green Arrow is a little just slower on the draw than the Stephen Amell Green Arrow.
That's how it actually is supposed to be, probably, though, because that means you're being accurate, right?
Well, that's the thing. He is Oliver Queen on Arrow, just so accurate.
Oh, yeah, he can just, yeah.
Yep.
Now, when Clark shows up to visit Oliver at his loft, Oliver's listening to some, I don't know why he's listening to this music. It's like some,
I don't know,
like Anya, or I don't know what it is. It's very ethereal sounding music. But Oliver's doing target practice, right? Clark does a power move. He comes in, he grabs the arrow before it hits the target.
That's right.
So I really like that.
Not as impressive as like when a normal person does it, because it's Clark.
Right. Super speed.
Yeah.
He tells him, like, oh, I was wondering if my security system would keep out some of your abilities. The answer is no.
Yep.
No. we get him showing off his arrow, and we get our Chekhov's EMP arrow, because he's like, hey, this arrow creates an electromagnetic pulse within everything within 8 feet. So maybe it will come in handy by this episode. Yep. I don't know. You tell me. But it's a good one to have. I'm surprised it doesn't have one by now.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest. Talking about boxing glove zeros, what is this? You know? Does yeah. Oliver Queen on Arrow ever have one like this?
An EMP?
Yeah.
We're going to find out in the later seasons.
All right.
I think it shows up in season four. My God, season four.
Season four. That's why I don't remember.
Yep.
So. Neil McDonough.
See, I really like him as an actor, and I like Damian Dark as a character. Is enjoyable to watch. Right. That's the thing about season three versus season four of Arrow. It's like season three, Rachel Gould is bad actor, bad writing, and Neil McDonough is like, well, the plot here is kind of doesn't really fit Arrow with the magic, but he's always fun to watch,
yeah.
And he has a good time. He has a fun time being a villain. So, and yeah,
all
and
those
to me,
puns, man.
Yeah.
He was better on Legends.
He was better in Star Trek First Contact as Lieutenant Hawk, but we'll leave it there.
He's also a great harmonica player.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't he in Captain America, the first one?
Yes, he's Dum-Dum Dugan.
He is Dugan.
So yeah. This guy, he's all over the place, man. So Clark has come to collect on the favor that Oliver Queen owes him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, my friend Chloe is doing an article for the Daily Planet. Your future wife is doing an article for the Daily Planet.
Nice spoiler.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the blonde IT girl.
Yeah, everybody knows that as he's meant to be with. So,
of course,
in any Earth, Earth 167 or Earth,
it don't matter.
Yeah. So sorry, Black Canary. We tried on Smallville; they just didn't stick. So Oliver's like, okay, you know. But then they start talking about what happened with Lex, right? Mm-hmm. And I like what Oliver tells Lex. There, he's like, I've known Lex a lot longer than you. I've seen who he really is. And you're like, what is he talking about? We've seen young Lex Luthor. He's just an misunderstood guy. People picked on him, right? It's not his fault. But I like how they see that here, because then it really does come into play later on in the episode,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100% does. Like, pretty much, like, right after this, right?
Because Oliver suspects that Lex is behind the attack, right? Which, you know, if you're Oliver Queen, this is exactly what you would think, right?
It's vice versa, too. It's vice versa.
They think because each other they hate each other. So he's like, oh, Oliver must be doing it. And so, to your point, it's these two billionaires, right? And that's what I want. Like, I want to see more of this kind of interaction in live action. I love the animation. We have plenty of that. I'm just saying for live action, you know, be it Oliver Queen, be it Bruce Wayne, be it Lex Luthor, these people in the superhero realm maneuvering around each other with these histories, right? And that's why it's like, I really wanted to see a Bruce Wayne in the Arrowverse, because I wanted to see how he would interact with Oliver Queen, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how would John Cryer's Lex Luthor would interact with Oliver Queen. But
yeah,
not going to get any of that. Cause
I think part of what makes it resonate a little bit more, too, is in Smallville, we've had so much with the farm, right? And those kind of storylines like Smallville, and now we're finally getting into Metropolis, and you're starting to see like different kind of people interact with, you know. So I think that when you deal with people who are rich, you know, like, you don't see a lot of that in Smallville unless they're a Luthor, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it adds like a different dynamic that I think is pretty cool to see.
Well, and a dynamic I think the show needed at this point. You know, because it's the Metropolis years, right? They're spending a lot of time there.
Yeah,
and it's that new shot in the arm, because it's like, okay, what do we do now, right? And people, I mean, I joke about it, and people did genuinely criticize it for being like the Green Arrow show, but I'm like, but he was an interesting new dynamic character. Of course, you're gonna lean into that when you got a new, because we know what Clark is, we know who he's all about, but Oliver Queen and all the variables he brings into it, you don't know what he's gonna do all the time. Mm-hmm. Right? He has interesting relationships with existing characters that make sense. It makes sense for them to have a past together, and that's what makes them seeing them interact interesting. And you're right, after Oliver's like, I've seen who he really is, right? We cut to a flashback and another flashback, and it's young Lex trying to convince, you know, Duncan, like, hey, look, we saw that they were gonna steal those results. We have power over them now. We can make them be friends with us and get some respect around here, right?
Yeah.
And that's what he's really after, and that kind of shows who he really is, and I think that's really insightful to his character, even at that young age.
Yeah.
Very true.
And the thing is, like, it's new for us as well, the audience.
Like, even, and this is why I really like the performance by Lucas Grabler. He's like, we can use this. Like, I can see Michael Rosenbaum's, like, you know, in this character. So good on him for channeling that, you know? Because even that, like, just the cadence and the way he talks, you know?
You can see it in his eyes, too. He does it really, really well.
So if they ever clone Lex Luthor and want to bring him back and can't bring Rosenbaum, I would cast this guy, you know, I'm just saying.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. But what's so interesting is, like, he's like, we have them pretend to be our friend, and Duncan's like, you don't pretend to be people's friends. What are you talking about, right? But that's what Lex is. Like, and I think, you know, that's the big thing of Smallville, right? It's Clark the reason Lex turned evil, but I'd say, I think on a genuine deep level, Lex did really want a friend. Like, Lex is always reaching out and trying to create relationships, but he can't help himself by seeing them as transactional.
Yes.
Right? He's like, oh, I'm going to do this for you, you're going to do this for me. You know, Clark could be of use to me at some point. So he it's a mystery with Clark, and that's why they became friends in the first place. But, I mean, they stayed friends, one, because Lex was just obsessed with him for all his mysteries. But also, he really needed, we joke about him being 22, hanging out with a 15-year-old, but, like, he needed a human connection. But just even at this young age, Lex is like, oh, we can pretend to be friends, and we'll get some respect, and that's what he's after, right? So,
isn't it kind of interesting how, like, they, like, Lex is kind of like an outsider, like how Clark is, but, like, in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of unique and interesting how they did that? How Lex is, like, he has money, he runs the business, the family business, you know, like he's got everything going for him, yet he's still kind of longing for that in the same way kind of Clark is. A different kind of power where Clark has abilities and Lex has like notoriety and like he's rich and a well-known wealthy family, and they're still kind of longing for the same thing, but
in different ways.
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's the classic, like, the grass is always greener thing as well, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, man, if only I had money and power. I'm like, well, not necessarily. Or it's like, if only I had a family. Like, look how messed up Clark's, you know, where season six is like Clark's darkest season for him, like, personally, right?
Yeah.
He's lost Lana. He's lost his dad. The other girl he wants to date is dating a billionaire. And the other girl he wants to date is dating some loser photographer.
And then, like, the dad of his, like, arch enemy is, like, hitting on his mom.
It's a rough season for Clark, right?
Can't catch a break.
But no, that's what's so interesting about their dynamic, right? Because they both kind of envy what the other have. Clark can overcome that, and Lex cannot. And that obsession, like, that's the one character trait across the board. Like, any live-action version, any animated version, any comic version of Lex Luthor is, like, the obsession and the fixation on things, especially Superman. And that goes into play here as well. But we see, like, this flashback starts playing out, and we see Oliver and his two lackeys, the young versions, right? Oliver tells Lex, like, I thought you were going to handle this, right? And Duncan's like, whoa, you what's going on here, right? Mm-hmm. So Lex has gone talk to those guys without his best friend's knowledge of this, right? And he's like, whoa, man, like, I'm going to go report these guys. Like, this is the right thing to do. And then Lex just freaks out at him because he's going to ruin their one chance, right? And then just completely flips the switch and beats the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Like, this is his best friend. He's, like, throwing up against a tree.
It's brutal.
Him to the ground, like, just right on top of him, beating his face. And you can just see how, like, something snapped.
Yeah.
Like, we come back from this flashback, and Lex is having a nightmare of the event. I was like, okay, so we got a good transition this time. So.
Yes, yes. The young version of Duncan, well, I guess the only version of Duncan, really, that I guess, but... the flashback version of Duncan,
right?
He kind of in a way reminds me of, like, if Clark didn't have powers and was just like one of us,
right?
Like, that's who we kind of, you know, hey, we got to do the right thing. You know, he's always trying to, you know, that moral kind of center.
And it's interesting how, like, even at this young age, Lex found that
somebody
kind of
like that
person, like, even, like, you know, 5 years before or so. Exactly. So he's always trying to find these people, but it never ends well for Lex. So, but, you know, he has this nightmare. Of course, him and Lana are in front of the fireplace where they always are.
That's where the magic happens.
And and he goes and he pours himself a drink. And she's like, "Oh, what was your nightmare about?" He's like, "I don't remember." I'm like, "Lex, you just had it." Of course, she remembers what it was, right?
Right.
He's like, "I'm fine," right? And he drops this bottle, and it hits the carpet. And it's funny because even watching, I was like, "Oh, this didn't break." And Lex is like, "Hey, at least it didn't break."
Uh-huh.
I thought that was just. It's a very human moment. I just thought it was funny that they put that in there. But then it creepily, like, rolls across the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what is going on here?
I just thought it was interesting how, like, considering how much Lex drinks in the show, this is the first time he really actually seems like he's drunk, you could say.
This and the, I don't know. And Reckoning, the 100th episode.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely there.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But yeah, there's Clark told you all secrets.
Yep.
But he goes over and he picks up the bottle. I really like how they shot this. General Swark again, right? Great director. Like, all these up angles of the Luthor Mansion. Like, we're seeing a lot more of the Luthor Mansion ceiling this season. And I like that because, you know, a lot of movie sets, right, there's no ceiling, right? So, like, when you see a ceiling, it helps, like, make you feel like it's more add a sense of authenticity to it.
Makes you feel like you're there more. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, show me the walls and the ceiling, right? And with a standing set like this, they can afford to do that, right? They go over to the bottle, right? Which is, I guess, was, you know, bait to go get them over by the chandelier, which falls down. And then Lana trips and hits her head on the floor.
It seems that way.
Okay.
That just happened. That happens way too much in Smallville.
The brain damage of these people. Like, I don't count this one because it didn't keep ever. Like, I count the knockouts to keep certain characters' secrets. We'll get to another one this episode, right?
Doesn't it feel just too convenient, though? Like, it's like you couldn't think of anything better?
Like, they need to do CTE studies on them.
And yes. You talk about the NFL having concussion protocol. Like, they don't lose consciousness. These people are losing consciousness. Now, my numbers would be off the chart. Right. If I counted every time someone got a knockout, I just count the ones to keep the secrets. But yeah. I don't know. Like I would have rather. And you didn't need to have to knock her out for this.
Yes.
Right? You could have just had the chandelier fall on her. Right. And had her, I don't know, break a leg or something. Or
yeah, no,
I mean, she's been through all this many times before.
It's true.
But
no wonder why she's with Lex. Right.
Well, and it's interesting how. So first of all, we have a hospital visit plus one. Right.
Plus one again.
Right, plus, another plus one.
Yep.
So we're at two so far for this episode. And then, yeah, this actually does play into, like, Lex and Clark here in a minute when they're talking about, like, oh, she's in the, ever since Lana's been with you, she's been in the hospital. And it's like she was safe dating you. How many times did she end up in a hospital bed? I'm like, that's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do want to shout out to Rekha Sharma.
My Trek crush, man.
Yes, she is in Star Trek Discovery. She is in Battlestar Galactica, and she is, of course, a doctor at the Smallville Medical Center for several years. She has appeared in episodes in season 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. And according to my research, her name is Dr. Harden. I don't know. They mix up the names all the time with these.
Harden.
See what she's been cooking. And this is her last episode on Smallville. So this was in 2006. Battlestar Galactica was probably taken off more around that time, so that's probably she went over there for her main role over there. Good to see her. So shout out to her in her final appearance on Smallville. But I always love, of course, you know, we know her as an actress from other things and love her, but I love how, talking about world building again, like, it's a sense of authenticity when you see the same doctors and cops and things like that around. Because there's no more sheriffs, so all we have left are the doctors. So, but yeah, she's the doctor here that Lex talks to. But again, I like how Lex and Clark are coming to blows about this, because Lex is absolutely right. Come on, like, Lana has been in the hospital so many times, and he's like, here, you lost your visiting rights.
Yeah.
Like, God, what a dick move. But I kind of,
if I were Lex, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
Hard to argue.
And you know, Lois shows up and is like, ooh, ouch. And he's like, well, he's right though. Like, even Clark knows. It's like, look, it's my fault that Lana's with Lex. And Lois is like, hey, it's, you know, she chose to be with him. And I'm like, that's a good point. So you can't blame yourself. Clark always blaming himself, you know, but that's what he does. It's part of his character trait here. But Lois, you know, being the journalist now, because we flipped that switch, she is trying to get to the bottom of this. Now, I will say, you know, you guys know me. I criticize Lois a lot on this show.
Yes.
But in these last couple episodes, I think they really are making her like Lois Lane. Like she's on a story. She wants to get to the bottom of it. I really like what they're doing with Lois in these couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good. And she sees that something doesn't add up, and she's digging into it.
And I like how they've kind of built to where, like, it's just part of her DNA. She has to figure it out. Like, she can't help herself. She can't go on a, like, when she's trying to figure out who Oliver Queen, you know, who the Green Arrow is.
The Green Arrow Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Arrow Bandit, yeah. The Inquisitor, yeah. But, you know, like, she, and, like, Oliver wants her to, you know, go with him for the weekend, and she's like, no, I got, you know, I have to figure out who this guy is. Like, she's like, you really like, you're like, Zach's right, you're really starting to see her become the Lois Lane that we know.
She's on gonna be on her mission over here to establish she's on the same trail that Clark is, because she wants to get to the bottom of this, right? Because it's two accidents, right, around you know, Lex and his high school buddies, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, Clark goes back to the watchtower, the clock tower,
whichever one.
Well, this must be the clock tower, because they call
the other one a watchtower?
You know, in later seasons, they call that the watchtower.
Mm-hmm.
That is the watchtower, because Chloe's the watchtower.
Yeah, and then Felicity is overwatch.
Also the watchtower? It's complicated. There's no clock there. So anyway, this is the clock tower. So Clark is back there. Oliver had his suspicions that, you know, Lex had, you know, been setting this up to, but Clark's like, no, he would not put Lana in danger. He loves her too much for that. I'm like, God, wow, ooh, ouch, right? But Clark's like, so what's up with this Duncan guy? Because Lois had mentioned it to Clark, so that we're connecting those dots. I was like, no, it can't be him. He's like, how can you say that? He's like, because Lex and I killed him 10 years ago. They're like, what?
Dun, dun, dun.
And then we cut back to finishing the flashback, right? Eventually, like, Oliver has to pull Lex off of beating Duncan to death, right? Which is, like, insane. So this shows me, like, I think this is an important distinction between them. Like, I think Oliver and his lackeys, they were just typical dude bros in high school. Like, not that that's right, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, they were just bullies, jocks, to pick on people they saw as vulnerable. Those just run-of-the-mill high school bullies. And Oliver has matured through his experiences, obviously his parents becoming the Green Arrow. He's a different guy now. Yes. He had to become something else. Anyway, but he pulls Lex off. He's like, there's something seriously wrong with you. Because Lex is, like, sociopathic or psychopathic. I'm not sure exactly which it is here. But to flip a switch and to beat your best friend to death because he was going to ruin your one chance at being cool, there really is something wrong with you. So I like the distinction here of the two of them, even in the past.
Yes.
And this is when Lex, when that fight, he had pulled off, you know, Duncan's patch. So it's like
from his blazer.
Has it. Yeah. And, you know, at least they didn't try to act like this was on a plaque somewhere in the Luther Mansion for years, like they did with the Veritas.
Yeah.
Thing for, you know, just this one episode. That's all it is, right? And so Duncan, you know, he gets up and he starts staggering away. And he's like, when I was your friend, I didn't feel like a loser or an outcast. And that's the whole point that Lex misses. Like, you can find acceptance with, like, a different group of people, even if it's not the people that you wanted to be with. It's like, you want to be one of them so bad. You know, and that's an important, like, life lesson. Like, because we've all found acceptance with our own circles, right? You know, just, you're not going to be, I don't know, whatever you want to be maybe one day, like, maybe you can't be that, but there's nothing wrong if you're not, if you're looking for a connection. So anyway, maybe I'm reading too deep into this, but I like what they're doing here. I feel like this is a very good analysis of Lex's character.
I think you're reading it right. That's exactly what they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of Lex's problem.
And which leads to ... another insanely ridiculous death.
Okay. He is, you know, yelling at them in front of, Duncan is yelling at all of them in front of the gate of the school. And he's like, leave me alone. And he, you know, congratulations, you're finally one of them, Lex. And then he kind of backs out into the road and he gets hit by a car.
Going extremely fast, by the way.
Yeah, like, and that's a school zone.
Yep.
All right? There's a school right there. That person is speeding, right? But he gets legit just crushed by this car.
Yeah, it's jarring in the way that, like, other things would play that for comedy. This is like holy crap.
Although it is somewhat funny.
It's done in that kind of style, yes. Like, it's very, like, almost like that, like a hard R comedy kind of.
Right.
The only thing I can compare this to is Mean Girls, right? Where, like, when you know, homegirl gets hit by a car, it's like, it's both jarring, but as to Zach said, it's also really funny.
This is the Mean Girls episode, movie plaza and episode Mean Girls. No.
It's not that.
It's a good analogy, I guess, but yeah.
Now, you know, my favorite scene of anything like this in movies are? Meet Joe Black. Have y'all seen that?
Yes, I have.
I have not.
Meet Joe Black, famous for having the Star Wars Episode 1 trailer before it in the theater, so people would go buy tickets, watch the trailer, and then leave.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting movie. It's like Death.
It's really long.
It is really long. But Death is played by Brad Pitt, and he has to inhabit this body of this guy. But at the very beginning of the movie, it's Brad Pitt, and he has, like, this mute cute with the lead actress.
Claire Forlorni, I think.
And they're kind of, like, looking at each other, like, you know, walking off, and they're, like, looking back. Mm-hmm. And she walks off, but he's still looking back at her. And he gets hit by not one, but two cars.
Yeah.
And it's an out-of-nowhere, crazy scene. And it looks, like, seamless. Like, it looks practical. I'm not sure how they did it. It's very impressive special effects, especially for 98. Yeah. So I don't know how they did that. But that's the best version of that kind of, like, death that you've seen. And that's at the very beginning of the movie, so that's not a spoiler.
Wow.
And it's all downhill from there. No, it's an interesting movie.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's just really long.
But, what's this called again?
Meet Joe Black.
Okay.
Yeah. Anthony Hopkins plays an old man who death has to come, you know, ready him for the afterlife.
He is the love interest father.
Yeah, yeah. So hashtag it's all.
Almost kind of like Twilight Zone in a way then, right?
It would be like a movie-long Twilight Zone. Death is a recurring character on the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Speaking of the Twilight Zone, Darren, are you a Twilight Zone fan?
A little bit. I mean, I haven't seen enough to say that I'm a fan, but... yeah, it's a really cool concept, yeah.
I just want to say, in season 2 of the new Twilight Zone on CBS All Access, they use the same location for, they have a boarding school episode with as a girls' boarding school. But I was like, that's the school they used the Twilight Zone, because they filmed it in Vegas.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's like the same spot. Yeah, yeah, so I reckon that statue, not there, by the way, with the sword, probably because it fell off.
Exactly, yep, exactly.
That's why.
There it is.
Yeah.
So we see that Duncan died, and Oliver tells Clark that he had extreme brain injuries, and Lionel Luther, you know, paid off everybody because the best doctors in the world, not the best doctors in Metropolis. I was waiting for the best doctors in Metropolis. But this is a very Lionel move, right? He's using money to cover up, you know, all this stuff Lex has been doing, like his mental breakdown, when he was a crazy youth in Metropolis back in the day. We used to hear about that. Club Zero, mm-hmm. right? All that good stuff. A very Lionel move here.
Yeah, so. For sure. And, you know, Clark tries to reassure him a little bit. He's like, that, you know, what happened to Duncan was not your fault. But Oliver's like, nah, not really. He's like, because I played a role in this.
Yeah, he takes responsibility because, I mean, he's become a better man now. Mm-hmm. So with this information, right, because he's like, oh, well, Lionel covered it up, right? Because they were looking for any kind of relative. I mean, the mom's the only one they could find, but she's dead. So there's no leads, right? So with this information from Oliver, Clark goes to his good buddy Lionel Luther.
That's right.
You know, now, and he's like, "Oh, Clark, oh, you wanted to go to lunch?"
Yep.
He's like, "This isn't a social call, right?" And he's like, "What's the guy's last name?"
Ellemeyer.
He's like, "Duncan Ellemeyer." And Lionel's like, "How do you know that name?" So it is interesting, right? Because this is the phase of Lionel where he's like,
"Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?" That's not where I was going with it. No, that's not where I was going with it. But this is the phase where Lionel is like, he's kind of a good guy, but he's still got some edge to him in a dark past. What's your take on Lionel Luther, Darren, and all this journey that he goes on as being a villain and an ally, and then this gray area he exists in? What's your favorite version of Lionel, I guess?
My favorite version of Lionel? I would say probably like the, when thinking back to like when he's in prison, kind of like that was season three, right?
Four,
sorry.
Three, beginning of four.
Yes, yeah. That era was probably my favorite. I like Lionel really as a character. I mean, when have we seen a character like Lionel before? You know, like, that's so fascinating to see. Like, we've never, I mean, how often do you see Lex Luthor's father in a show? I mean, yeah, he's kind of name dropped in BVS, but so I really like, and John Glover is awesome as that character. So, and him, the scenes between him and Lex are just, you know, dynamite in my opinion. Like, they are so good together. Yeah.
Oh, no, they're always great.
Here, it's interesting because you don't know, he's one of these characters, like, you don't know what he's going to do, right? He's a wild card, but it feels true to his character, right? Like, he tells Clark this whole thing, I'm like, oh, well, it was a tragedy, and, you know, he was on scholarship, so, you know, we're special doctors, and, you know, all this stuff, and you're like, you know, this does track, but I know that, you know, you always have some ulterior motives of what he's doing, because, I mean, it's, you know, crazy science experiments, like Lex, Lionel, no matter who they are, right? This is what they put. They see these as opportunities to kind of test some fringe science. Yeah. Right?
They're Luthers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel reveals to Clark that Duncan isn't really dead. He's been on this experimental brain treatment for the last
10 years.
10 years. Yeah. So
and there you go. Yeah, they made an arrangement with his mother. So, like, again, he's behind the scenes, you know, making stuff happen.
If I were Clark, I would have chewed out Lionel a little more for this.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's like, I know you like my mom, bro, but.
Yeah.
And also, right before Clark had come into this scene, Lionel was looking at pictures from the Kawachi Caves. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, we're going to keep that subplot going where he still knows Kryptonian. So, but when he tells Clark that he was in the hospital visit plus three.
Yep.
Because Duncan's in a hospital. He's been there for 10 years.
And don't forget to mention which room he's in.
Okay. 237.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Shining reference, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Yep. I hadn't picked that up until you mentioned it. I remember, I wrote down, like, I wonder if this means something because it's so in the shot all the time. That's good. Thanks for picking that up, Darren. Yeah. Because, yes, the room 237 is the room from The Shining, the movie version, by the way, the Stanley Kubrick version.
Yes.
Apparently in the book, it's a different number. Interesting. But that's the room. Don't go into room 237. You stay out of there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a ghost story, so it kind of...
Yeah, it makes sense.
But is The Shining a ghost story? Hmm. A conversation for another time, perhaps. But the only thing is there has to be ghosts because they let Jack Nicholson out of the pantry.
There you go.
Yep. Everything else, it could just be in his head. But that's why it's interesting to rewatch. Stanley Kubrick, one of the greatest directors ever. I don't care if Stephen King doesn't like the movie. He's wrong. So
I agree.
We see this room, right? And it's very X2, right?
Yeah, because
we
see Jason Stryker there. Yeah. that's the first thing that I thought.
It's just this, you know, mute guy in a chair, like, yeah. Injecting him,
and,
right?
And that that nurse that was injecting him, gotta say, she's like either in little bit parts in Arrowverse shows, because she's been in all of them. She's been in Supergirl. She's been in Flash. She's been in Arrow. She's been on Legends. Like,
oh, really?
These little parts, yeah. And also, I wouldn't be doing, you know, my part as... half of the host of Always Hold On to Arrow without mentioning the fact that she's also a Hallmark Channel alum. And no. She's in Nine Lives of Christmas. She is one of the people that work at the pet store.
Allison Araya.
Yeah.
She is in many episodes of Arrow. We're not going to mention them all, but She is Officer Lopez and two other characters across four seasons of the show. So anyway, again, this troop of Canadian actors. Good for them. Right?
Yep. I mean, she's always getting work, too. So it's just like, good for you.
We've established where I'm just going to call him Jason because of X, too.
Jason, right? Stop it.
Jason, stop it. And
you guys are awesome. I just got to say that.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So
there has to be some people that enjoy it, because like in real life, no, like some people do not like approve.
But here's the thing: even if you weren't here, Darren, we'd be doing the same thing.
It's also true.
We don't need the audience, right?
That's part of what makes it awesome. Audience, so. You're authentic.
Lex and Duncan here, me and Lance, like we don't care if Oliver Queen likes us or not. Yeah. Right? We're all cast together, and that's what's important.
Basically,
so, anyway. Yes. You know, all jokes aside, like there's a logic to that, because you know we were in band together,
yeah.
And that's the kind of mindset you have when you're like a band nerd. You're like, well, I don't care about those losers. I have like 100 friends here in bed,
yeah.
You know? I mean, 100 acquaintances, maybe about 6 or 7 friends, let's be real.
Yeah. Same here. I was also in band.
Heck yeah.
I played trombone.
Yes!
Oh. Lance tried trombone as well.
Right on. Yes. Right on. Actually, I started off as percussion, and then, I mean, they're just like, we need you a trombone too, so, because my dad had played trombone, so.
Excellent.
I ended up playing both, and then after a while, I just stuck with trombone because it just came really easy to me. So I was a marching band, jazz band, pep band, nice. All that stuff. Yeah.
I wanted to play trombone, but they told me my lips were too small.
That is part of it, I guess. Yeah. Like did you play trumpet?
I started with trumpet and then I played French horn.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Which is the hardest instrument to play because it goes 3 octaves, just so you guys know.
No, everything goes through octaves.
I have to use my left hand during concert season. And my right hand during marching season.
The reason why French horn is difficult is because the partials on the instrument and the overtone series are so close together.
I don't even know what you're talking about. All I know is I was in otter band most of my career.
There you go.
I really hope this makes it in the episode.
This stuff totally makes
sweet.
It.
Sweet.
It is. I'm a legit professor of music, so.
Yeah. Well, I played music for 7 years.
You sure did.
I know what I'm talking about. All right, Jason, stop it. Back to that. We're back at the asylum. Whatever. We're back at the Overlook Hotel. That's where the Overlook Hotel. That's where Jason Stryker is right now.
Yep.
And Clark is there, but then Lois is there as well. By the way, need to mention now before we forget, +1 for blue shirt, red jacket, because Clark's wearing. He's been wearing that throughout a lot of this episode. So Clark is there. Lois is also there because she's followed her leads.
Yes.
That have brought her to the Overlook Hotel here. It's funny, they go up to this door, and it's room 237, as you pointed out. Lois tries it, and it doesn't work, and she's like, I'm going to go flirt up a key, which is, I like that, right? And, of course, she walks off, and Clark opens it, and it's funny, because, like, sometimes, in some episodes, Clark just would let her leave and not tell her, but this time, he's like, hey, Lois, it was just stuck, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
It's because he likes her.
Oh, that's right. They like each other. They just don't know it yet. It's funny because they don't like each other now, though. They're going to get married one day. It's comedy.
Hilarious.
Exactly. So they get in the room there. By the way, the timeline still tracks. It's only been the end of day 2.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you, Smallville. They finally figured out what day it was, what time it is. Now, Oliver, right? Oliver's in his penthouse, his loft, his clock tower.
Yeah.
And Lex comes up, the industrial elevator there.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of have a meeting here. And they start fighting.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, man, Green Arrow should wipe the floor with Lex, but Lex is holding his own okay.
I think he's holding back on purpose.
Yeah, because in case you haven't noticed, by looking around at all these Green Arrow paraphernalia I have in this place, I'm the Green Arrow.
Yep, and my family's crest with green arrows in it.
This Oliver Queen is real bad about keeping a secret identity, as we talked about in our last episode on Arrow. But Lex has a great point. He's like, ever since you came to Metropolis, like, I've been kidnapped, and the woman I love sitting in a hospital bed, right? Again, not the first time, Lex.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you go to the hospital is serious, but at this point on the show, I'd be like, okay, just another week in Smallville.
Basically. So.
Mm-hmm.
What really sets Lex off is, Oliver tells him, like, I've seen that look in your eye before when you were killing your best friend. And then they just kind of go at it. Oliver holds his own pretty well. I think you're right, Lex. I think he's holding back a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But then at some point, he throws Lex into a table. I'm like, damn, this got to hurt. Like, hit his back in the table and stuff. You know, I this is Smallville, so the fight choreography was never going to be Arrow, but it was cool to see this stuff because we never get to see Clark get in real fights.
Correct.
Right? Unless he's, like, depowered or superpowered, and they have a budget that episode. So it is nice to see some kind of, man-to-man, mano-a-mano fights, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
they start blaming each other, right? He's like, oh, what happened to Duncan? And Lex is like, well, you think your hands were clean? And Oliver's like, yeah. He's like, well, I've done a lot of washing my hands, you know, I've done a lot of scrubbing, but your hands just keep getting dirtier, right? So yep. That's kind of shown the trajectories of their lives since they were younger. And then
the glass starts to vibrate.
Yeah, just then, when it was kind of being interesting, the plot of the episode comes in and kind of ruins stuff.
Basically.
Yeah.
What did you think when the glass shattered and then the bow and arrow gets taken off the rack and they pointed at him? What are you thinking here, Darren, watching this happen?
Oh, man. That made it seem a little more aged to me than when I first watched it. I mean, that was... Words can't even describe how, like you said, it was, they were fighting. They were actually revealing like how they really felt about each other. And yeah. Then all of a sudden, ooh, the glass breaks and supernatural and ooh, the arrows hovering. Like
it's a goofy
really...
invisible man thing, right?
Yes.
Where it's like, yes. Oh, we're going to open the doors and we're going to pick up this thing and it's going to point. And it's, man, those CGI arrows do not look,
no.
They do not hold up well.
No,
they really don't. But Oliver takes one in the shoulder and but, you know, during this, Lex is knocked out.
Oh.
And when, you know, and as a result, he doesn't see Oliver's like arsenal display open. So we have a knockout to keep Ollie's secret.
Knockout to keep wow. Oliver's secret.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
How
two
convenient.
Of those in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, like Oliver gets pinned up against the wall. Meanwhile, Clark and Lois are in room 237. And they're looking at his charts, and apparently everyone on these genre shows are all just doctor experts. They're just like, oh, well, look at this. He had this, and he had that, and
yeah,
like, trying this drug.
If I looked at a chart, I would have no idea what any of the stuff on
yeah,
it
was. Yeah, I'd be so lost.
Outside of my name. Like,
and I guess they don't have you know, any kind of surveillance or security here, because people just are in this,
yeah.
this dude's room,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Clark, I mean, he sees that it's like, you know, refined meteor rock,
yeah.
right? Because that's the new treatment they tried 2 days ago, and that's why it started. So
and like they noticed heightened brain activity as a result of it.
Right, right.
Don't you guys find it interesting that room 237 is actually like the room that's safe, and then Ollie's place is like where like all the stuff's going down?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't
true.
That interesting?
So, do go to room 237.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good. And then we see like the, you know, the kryptonite in his eye,
yeah.
which is kind of showing you how the powers are working and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the spikes of his brain activity
mm-hmm.
are when the other two guys die. And it's spiking now. So Clark knows to go
to where Oliver is.
Because
he's the last person, I guess.
But why? How does he know where Oliver or Lex are? How does he know which one he's?
Well, I think he didn't go for Lex because
doesn't care what happens to Lex.
A, he doesn't care what happened to Lex, and B, he already tried Lex, and so he's like, he figured it's like he'd try the next person on the list first, before going back to Lex.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Clark doesn't care about Lex and wouldn't care if he died, but Henry Cavill's Superman. Didn't care about Lex, but stopped him from dying.
Look at that.
From Dimmstead.
Look at that.
Sorry, Zach. I had to.
No, hey, and that's a great moment. That's a very Superman moment where Jude May is going to kill Lex, but Superman still stops him.
Mm-hmm.
So
even when he has every reason to let it happen. Yeah.
He's learned over the previous two movies. So, but yes, good call out there, Darren. Well done. So Clark super speeds over to Oliver's place, and lucky for the episode,
mm-hmm.
they invented this EMP arrow,
yep.
and that's the one that Ghost Duncan, picks up and shoots at Oliver,
yeah.
and Clark gets in the way, and because he's a man of steel
yeah.
or something, the I don't know, it backfires,
yeah.
and we see the outline of the ghost of like the kid Duncan.
Yeah.
It's like a bad episode of Supernatural. I say a bad episode, it might be a good episode of Supernatural. I've never seen it, but that's the kind of vibe I'm getting. I haven't felt this way since we watched Tomb last season. I'm like, this weird,
oh, wow.
like,
yeah.
whenever there's ghosts and stuff, I'm like, what are the rules here? Like, I don't, like, this is a sci-fi show. Like, I don't know. Like, it's cheesily done. It's contrived. I don't like it. And what are we to think of poor Duncan here? Like, this guy was a victim.
He was.
And this episode has turned him into like the serial killer. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sit well with me. Like, I don't like that. And then also, but he gets his justice because, you know, he killed those other two guys, and the Clark hitting the EMP arrow hitting Clark and bouncing it back on to the spirit, the astral projection, which the Metropolis Inquisitor talks about all the time. Mm-hmm. That is very on brand for them to have talked about that. So let's get Lois Brings that up. I like that. So that feedback is, you know, fries whatever was left of Duncan and he dies. So now he's dead for real, right? So I don't know. Like, I don't think they thought about the fact that they turned this poor kid who was like a victim into like the serial killer.
Yeah.
And then they kill him at the end. I'm like, that's not cool.
Yeah. I don't think they thought about that at all.
I'm totally with you.
I mean, I'm Team Duncan on this.
Okay.
I wouldn't kill the guys. But obviously, he has no like how much of him is really there doing this? Is it an instinctive thing? It's like, these are the last guys he saw, so he's coming after him. Like, I don't know.
Well, it could be a Jason Schreier thing where he knows exactly what's going on up here. He just can't, like, you know, voice it.
Right. So, I don't know. Like, they needed more. Like, I needed a scene where Clark was like, wow, you know, he was just a kid. And I don't know. Like, him and Oliver could have talked about that. But instead, we get Lois and Clark's wrap up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back and he's like, hey, what happened? She's like, well, things got hot and you disappeared like usual.
He's like, I went to go call Oliver.
Go call Oliver. You know, we gave Lois some crap for her journalistic integrity when she first started writing about, like, you know, alien invasion with the barn doors flying out of the sky. But here, she's like, at least the episode might not know it's in bad taste, but at least Lois does. She's like, I don't know, this seems rather exploitative to write an article about this, right? Yeah. And I'm like, hey, good for you, Lois. But then Clark's like, hey, wait a minute. If it wasn't your boyfriend involved in this, would you still write the article? And, you know.
Yeah.
But then we go to the classic Smallville conversation.
Yeah. Right?
He's like, you know, sometimes to protect the people we love, we keep secrets. And Lois says one of the lines that I will always remember from Smallville watching it, and a line that would never fly today. You would not see this in the Arrowverse.
Correct.
No way.
It's this bait and switch where it's like, you think they're going to, it's like a Tinder moment, and he's like, a learning moment, right? With Clark and Lois. So he tells her this about, you know, protecting the ones you love and keeping secrets, and she's like, that's totally retarded. And then it's like played for laughs.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Things that don't age well.
No.
No.
I don't even think that would have worked back then.
Like, what aged worse, the CGI arrows or that line?
Definitely that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is surprising that was allowed, but.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that scene was like to me, that's such a small scene that was so good. And then they just kind of like ruin it at the end just for like, I don't know if they're just lightening it up because there were some darker, more graphic moments in the episode and they needed to balance it out somehow. But yeah, no, that was a kind of a lame ending to what I thought was a good scene.
Yeah, it's like they needed a one-liner here. To,
yeah.
Like, take us out. I'm like, oh, okay. Very funny. What is it, the MCU? Huh? Anyway.
Good try.
Indeed.
So it's the next morning at the Luther Mansion, and Lex is still holding his bloody patch from Duncan's jacket and filling Lana in on everything. And he's like, he was my only friend, right? And so he's lamenting about that. You know, internally he's probably thinking like him and Clark, right?
Yep.
But at least I got Lana, right? That'll end well, I'm sure, Lex. Don't worry. Well, Lana tells him, like, that's the past. What matters is the man you've become. Like, oh, no, Lana, no, he's become a terrible, become a bad person, you know? But is it Clark's fault? Who's to say?
Who knows?
I'm sorry I couldn't save you, Lex. So Oliver Queen comes to see Lex. He's been invited into the lion's den, as he says. And at the end of this episode, it's like, you're like, oh, what's, it's like, are they going to bury the hatchet, right?
Nah.
Well, first of all, it's a rare scene between Justin Hartley and Kristen Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in the same scene, but they've
not talked,
never really interacted. And in The Companion, Justin Hartley had this to say, quote, I wish I'd had some more scenes with Kristen because all I got to do was talk to her a few times. I didn't even really have a scene with her, but she seems like a pretty fascinating and brilliant person. I love to work with her more. I'm like, don't worry. When you come back to season 8, oh, wait, no.
Yep.
I'm sure they have some scenes in season 8 while she's there.
Let's hope so.
Right. Oh, he finds her first.
There it is.
Because he shoots the mannequin Alex or whatever, right? Oh. Anyway, moving on. Also in The Companion, Justin Hartley talks about this last scene between Lex and Oliver here. He says, quote, in the beginning, the relationship, right? In the beginning, it was more about, here we go again. Here's this guy that I think is a despicable person. And obviously, Oliver knew a lot more about Lex than Lex probably realized because of Oliver being Green Arrow, which means he knows who the players are. And then grew into something like, let's try to bury the hatchet and see what happens. And then Lex shunned Oliver by saying, well, no, forget it. I'm sorry I ever met you. From then on, it was, okay, let's play hardball. Because you think it's like, this is like, oh, it's they're going to reconcile and see that, you know, we're not so different. We've changed a lot. This tragedy has brought us together. And mm-hmm. Lex is like, I'm here to say thank you. And Oliver's like, I'm sure you would have done the same for me. It's like, no.
Nah.
He knows that he wouldn't. And Lex is like, yeah, that's all. You can leave now. Also, I'm sad I ever thought I needed a friend like you. I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I like this angle here of the Lex-Oliver rivalry. And that it would feel cheap and not authentic if they like were buddies at the end of this. So then Lex goes to see Lionel.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the shot of Lionel. Again, this General Swark has a great eye for this kind of stuff. Because we start out and Lionel's looking at some chart. Obviously, Duncan's readings or something, I assume. Because
it looks like Batman and I. Jack!
Yeah. You're
back.
Oh, woman! Right? It's the same kind of shot, right? It's the silhouette of Lex Luthor.
Yep.
And he's coming to see his dad, and he's pissed that, you know, Duncan has been alive for 10 years, mm-hmm. and Lionel never told him. And Lionel's like, what did you want me to do, Lex? Tell you that he was in the hospital, and you're going to go visit him every day? It was in your best interest that you thought he was dead. I'm like, I don't know, I kind of see Lionel's point here.
Yeah.
I don't think he's wrong.
No, I mean, it's a very Lionel thing to do. It's perfectly within character.
Did you catch, I think it was back when Lionel was talking to Clark earlier, but did you catch that wordplay that Lionel had about how he didn't want to handicap Lex's future?
Oh, mm-hmm. Look at
that. It reminded me of Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor in a weird way, like that.
With the wordplay?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of time, out of tricks.
One bat head short.
And Lex has the power here over Lionel. Like the power dynamic has shifted over the years of Smallville, so that's interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Like as much as we love these Lex and Lionel scenes, they would get old if nothing ever changed, right? Yeah. It'd be like, oh, it's the same thing. Like a scene from season 6 is not the same as a scene from season 2, nor should it be, right? So
right,
now Lex
exactly.
has the power, right? And he's like, all right. Well, I want his test results on my desk first thing in the morning because, like, he, being the Luthers, like, they're interested in this fringe
yep.
science. Like, maybe we can use this, right? I like that. Mm-hmm. And Lionel's like, oh, okay. Or I'm going to tell Martha Kent about you.
Yeah,
you know,
basically.
He has that over him, right? So then we cut back to the farm, and Oliver and Clark are hanging out. It's nice for Clark to have a guy friend again.
Yeah.
You know, even though they're, like, two episodes, like, he's like, is that why you hate me, Clark, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I guess that was last episode, actually,
yeah.
right? But they're cool now, right? The superhero fraternity that they're part of. And it's been a while. I mean, Lex obviously isn't his friend anymore. Pete's long gone. And there's no one else to talk to.
Well, they have something in common that bonds them. Mm-hmm. So like it's cool that like even Oliver probably like is realizing he's like, well, I got to kind of talk to Clark and he mm-hmm. seems like a good enough dude so I can trust him.
And, you know, Clark tells him, like, hey, don't beat up on yourself. I'm like, Clark's the one beating up on himself all the time and tells Oliver, hey, man, you know. So what Oliver tells Clark, he's like, hey, we all make bad choices. So all we can hope to do is, you know, make the right ones moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. And that shows, yeah, and I like that. It shows that, you know, Oliver, you know, he was kind of a jerk in his past, but he's redeemed for, you know, been working on redeeming himself for a lot of things, yeah. This being one of them. As mm-hmm. you find out, there are others.
There are right? others. But again, that is true to the character of Oliver Queen.
Yeah, exactly. And Chloe shows up. The future Mrs. Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her first scene with Oliver Queen. Little did we know. And she's like, oh, hi. I didn't know Clark and Company is a bad time. And he's like, oh, well, hey, I hope those pictures help for your article.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. Because, of course, there was no article
That's right.
about Dark Thursday. They just wanted the pictures to see the zoners. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I'm off to see your cousin Lois now. As they're like checking each other out and I'm dating your cousin. And it's like,
yep.
again, like yeah. I mentioned this last time. You know, I like joking about how it's like there's awkward family dynamics already because like you have Clark and Chloe who've been friends for years and she's been in and out of love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lois is Chloe's cousin and that Clark ends up with Lois. But then you have Oliver in here who was introduced to them by dating Lois, but now he's married to Chloe. I'm
yep.
like, what? What a complicated. So much so, and I mentioned this last week, but they dedicated an entire episode to it to clean up all this.
They did.
And I actually do really like that episode in season 9.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just wanted to say that here for posterity's sake. But, yeah, but this is the first time that Chloe meets Oliver in the flesh, and really in the flesh, because she is
yeah.
just checking him out all the way out
oh,
the
she
bar.
Is. She's, like, oh, she's, hey, ooh, wow. she's thirsting at him, after
Clark,
him.
Clark finds it
yeah.
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, Chloe, don't you have a boyfriend? Where's your photographer boyfriend?
yeah, exactly.
Where's he been the last two episodes? Anyway. Chloe has come over to show him those satellite photography pictures, mm-hmm. they find some craters, and they have the whole like enhance thing, yep. I guess, of these pictures, because it's like, you know, it's like zoomed in, just a smoking hole in India. But she found another crater in Australia that she wanted Clark to take a look at, and there's someone in this crater.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at it, and I'm waiting for that close-up shot where you can see it's Raya.
Hey, she blew it up as close as she could.
Well,
I mean, technology was not as good back then.
I do criticize it for enhance. Why am I criticizing it for not? But you see, the thing is, right, you see Clark, he goes to another picture that we don't see,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, Raya. And that's the end. I'm like, well, you didn't show us the, like, where's the, like, that's the last shot needs to be the girl you saw in the first, anyway.
Yep.
So there you go. That's what we established, that they all show up this way. Very similar to how there's an exact ending of one of these in season 9, where he sees Jor-El in the S, right? Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
But I'm like, oh, but that was not this episode. I was thinking that when this happened. But Raya is not dead. You should know she's not dead because they mentioned that she died many times at the end of that episode, even though they didn't see her die. So that means she's not going to be dead. That's right. Much like Sarah Lance on Arrow.
That's right.
Let's talk about her for all season that she's dead. Not dead. So there you go. We end on this. Oh my God, Raya's not dead. The season 6 plot continues. But again, to your point, Darren, this is like these two scenes about all this. Like, it could have been anywhere, but they kind of needed to get that subplot moving. So
finally,
that's why we are where we are.
Yeah. I just think could have been done way better. And it was kind of like tacked on, it felt like. And
oh, it definitely was.
That's what you think of, like, when you think of like Arrow, right? Or even like The Flash, like those shows that came later on. I think that would have been written a little bit better, but maybe that's just like what the times were back then. And that's just throw it in there just because. And
it's that middle ground. They're like, we're episodic, but we have some arc that we need to mention every episode, like we're building towards something. And they hadn't quite mastered it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they were kind of like the pioneers for, well, I shouldn't say, because there's Lois and Clark, but in a way, like, I mean, for superhero television, I mean, 10 seasons, kind of what helped inspire to launch the Arrowverse. So,
oh, it did. It did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Arrowverse would not be what it was without Smallville. And how many episodes of Arrow or The Flash or whatever, like, oh, that's like Smallville.
Yeah, good like number.
Right. So.
But instead of cutting to the Arrowhead of Arrow, we cut to, you know, executive producers Al Goff and Miles Millar, and the episode ends.
You're early.
It's not often I get invited into the lion's den. I didn't want you changing your mind.
I'm sure you two have a lot to discuss. Mr. Quain?
Miss Lang? You're a lucky man.
In more ways than one. I should be dead, but here I stand.
Well, you would have done the same thing for me, right?
I wanted to say thank you. And that's all I wanted to say. I'm sure you have business to get back to.
Lex. What happened to Duncan? The way I treated both of you. It's not something that I'm proud of. I want you to know how much I regret it.
And I regret ever thinking I needed friends like you.
Reunion. Got an 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
He did?
I know, right? So, Darren, I ask you, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Reunion?
I would give this episode, well, I'd probably give it a B minus, so it kind of lines up with the IMDb score.
Okay. B minus for you. What about you, Lance?
Yeah, I'm going to go B minus as well. It's, you know, it's just okay. It's not bad, but it's not great either. It's just kind of a ho-hum episode. The flashback stuff is what keeps it in the B range and not in the C-plus territory.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a C-plus, actually.
Okay.
Myself. You know, we're having some fun talking about it. Like, I really like the Lex stuff in this. I really like the Oliver stuff in this. I like how they use them both as mirrors to each other, right? Much like Clark and Lex used to be. Now we move into different phases of all their, you know, journeys as heroes and villains. And so now Oliver is the more equivalent to where, you know, Lex is. And so we can see that and tying the history together. Very clever. And again, the acting for young Lex, right? Spot on casting. That really sold it. You know, if you're looking at someone and you can't believe that's the same character, that really breaks the illusion, takes you out of the story. That didn't happen here. But these looks into Lex Luthor's psychology, like, those are some of Smallville's strongest things. But unfortunately, they saddled it with some really goofy ghost story, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what it was, a scientific ghost story, right? But still, like, just call it's a ghost. I mean, let's call it what it was, right?
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was the Halloween episode, right? It was October.
Well, there, yeah. It is. There it is.
That's the reason.
But then they had the costume party, like, a couple weeks earlier. So, you know, what are you going to do, right?
It's Comic-Con, I don't know.
It's the Comic Con episode. It's the New York Comic Con episode. Yeah. Wither. But yeah, so that stuff really brings it down to me. It's just like, it's contrived and cheesy and just not really well thought out. And then, like, again, they make the sympathetic friend of Lex in the past the serial killer in the present, and I don't think that occurred to them. So anyway, that's right down on.
You're kind of convincing me. I'm starting to lean towards that C plus.
Come on over.
Getting over there, yeah.
There's room.
I'll go like right on the edge. How about that?
All
right.
So we'll leave you at B minus, and then Lance is at a B.
B minus.
Minus. Then I'm at a C plus. So one more time around. C plus for me. B minus for Lance. B minus for Darren. There you go. Finally, on the tally board, we have a plus one for Blue Shirt, Red Jacket. That brings us to 43. We have a plus three for Hospital Visit. That brings us to 94.
Yes.
94. Yes. And we have a plus one for Knockout to Keep Clark's Secret. That brings us to 35. And we have a plus one for Knockout to Keep Oliver's Secret. That brings us to 2. Obviously, those are both in the climax. Lex got knocked out, so he didn't see Oliver's armory and he didn't see Clark get hit by the arrow.
Yep.
Bechdel test. Fail?
Yeah.
I don't think Chloe and Lois had any scenes together, and Chloe and Martha were there with Clark.
Yeah.
So this one's a fail from my memory.
I think so.
I think you're right. I don't know. I watched the episode before, right before I watched this one, so that a little bit of it blends together for me. But I think you're right, though. I think you're right.
All right. And that's going to do it for our tally board. So there you have it. Reunion. Can't believe they didn't say reunion in the episode.
I know, right?
So do they say homecoming in Homecoming?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Banner. There's got to be a banner.
I think there is a banner.
It's pretty heavily implied, too. With, yeah.
I mean, I was at least looking for like a banner that said Excelsior Tittany Reunion, class of 96.
Yeah.
So anyway, what are you going to do? So. All right, Darren, well, a lot of fun having you on the episode. If people want to find you out there online, where can they find you?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to be on this episode. They can find me most social media sites, including Vero. Yeah, I have to throw it out there. But you can find me at either my name, Darren Kirsch, or Darren Kirsch 16. So, yeah.
All righty. What about you, Lance?
You can find me on all of my social medias at Sir Lance Laster. And you can find me talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow, with my partner Kev Chillis on the UFP Network on our show, Always On That Arrow. You can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
Very good. As for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue. We talk about movies, remakes, sequels, and when franchises get fatigued. You can also find us on the UFP Network. We are at UFP Earth on Twitter and also at Franchise Fatigue on Twitter. As for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with 1S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with 1S. That's going to do it for us this week. But we'll be back next time talking about Fallout with Little Bow Wow. But he's not little anymore.
Nope.
He's just Bow Wow. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Casey Cochran, James Bandini II, Darren Kirsch, Lex Ledger, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe McIndoe, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Figuerella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, Zachary Burkhalter, DJ Duena, Corey Moore, Dallas Hernandez, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fanzler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jerry Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, and Keith Falls. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.